Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another week of the Madden Voice. I have been reminded of my own philosophy to expect the unexpected, and yes, things are definitely happening unexpectedly in the NFL. I will mention tonight we will not have our very own K-Star with us, unfortunately able to make it. But he will join us in the future. You guys don't have to listen to him tonight. Instead, you get to listen to me and hit it all this madness. The reason why I sit here every Tuesday talk Cowboys, Steelers, and the other team in the NFL, former known as Commissioner T, now known as Omniscient T, for the Madden Voice.
Woo! You know what? And we don't need K-Star. You know what I'm saying? K-Star, he's our boy. But you know what? K-Star, you know, I know why you're not calling in. I know why you're not on the show tonight. I know why. Because you was on Facebook running your mouth about Tony Romo, running your mouth about the Cowboys. You're on Facebook. And while your Steelers are sitting there not figuring out how to win a game, and you're talking about my Cowboys that took the Broncos down to the wire. Nobody predicted it except Omniscient T. I said, check the tape, Commissioner T, the Omniscient One, said that the only way to go at them is to dictate that game and go blow for blow, pound for pound, and outslug Peyton Manning. Check the tape from the show last week. And everybody was surprised when the Cowboys went up 14-0. Everybody was surprised when they were down 35-20 and came back to go up 48-41. Unfortunately, few were surprised when my quarterback, Tony Romo, threw the pick on the last drive of the game. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that and put that in its proper perspective. I say that to say, thank you, Train. Glad to be here with you. Good to be back on the Madden Voice, back on our regularly scheduled Tuesday night. And, you know, K-Star did say he would try to call in. So, you know, if he has a moment and can call in and get roasted by the Omniscient One, then that's great. And if not, well, I'll get him next time. You know what I'm saying? So how are you, Dr. Train?
I'm good, T. I am good. Dr. Train on the ones and twos again. Haven't done this in a while, but it's like riding a bike. But before we dive into any NFL talk, I just want to take a couple of minutes to remind everyone this is October. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Please go out and get yourself checked. Those who have listened to the Madden Voice for the past couple of years know I lost a very dear friend to breast cancer. Her mother even started a foundation in her name, Erica J. Holloman. Foundation.org. You can visit the site, know her story. She was a very beautiful person. And one other thing I do want to add to that, people, be proactive when it comes to cancer as a whole. Try to eat healthy, cut back on the sugars, educate yourself, because this is definitely a disease that we can fight if we just change our lifestyles, change our diet a bit.
Well said. Co-sign everything you said.
Yeah. So without further ado, man, let's talk. Let's talk NFL. This has been a wild week. A wild week. And, of course, what better to start the show off with than Cowboys versus Broncos?
Yeah, man, and, you know, let me just say this. First of all, there's a lot of ways to look at this game. And let's start with who we are. We are the Madden Boys, 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. Twitter, at the Madden Boys. Facebook, just go ahead and put the Madden Boys. Facebook.com/the Madden Boys. We got you covered on all social media. And if you want to dial into the show, go ahead and 347-838-9525. But let me first say, as a football fan, you could not ask for a better game. As a football fan, you had to appreciate what you saw for over 3 hours on Sunday afternoon in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It was, in my opinion, one of the best football games I have ever seen. And that's just as a pure football fan. If somebody said, I want to sit down and watch a good football game, that is the game to watch right there. And it was just an incredible contest, incredible battle of wills, ebbs and flows, and really watching, for this one game, in my opinion, two of the best performances quarterbacks have ever done in a game. Peyton Manning, of course, and yes, Tony Romo. And anybody who doesn't co-sign that doesn't understand football. It was a masterful game played by both of those quarterbacks. And you have to appreciate the art of football and what we saw on that Sunday afternoon. Now, Train, as a fan, do you agree with me, or am I just blowing smoke?
No, actually, you're not blowing smoke. It was a good game. I mean, you know, you would look at that game and people would say, where's the defense? But to be honest, there was a seesaw battle in the game. There were times where the defenses showed up on both sides. And then there were times where you can't – for two teams – who have the offensive chemistry the way Dallas and the way the Broncos have. And if you consider fair to say Dallas don't have offensive chemistry, you need to go look at the stats. They put up they can put up big numbers, and they put up a lot of freaking yards. But, you know, with two teams that have offenses the way these two teams have offenses, you can't – it's very difficult to hold them down all game long. And, man, it was fun to watch. That was definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, it really was. And it's hard for me to separate being a fan of football and being a fan of my Cowboys. And when people talk about, you know, the positives and all of that, it's very hard. As a diehard Cowboys fan, you want the win. And that's it. You want the win. And there was a point where I thought the game was over and Dallas wasn't going to win. When it was 35-20, they came out and scored first very easily in the second half. Well, let me back up for a minute, you know, and I know pretty much everybody saw the game, but let's back up for a minute. Who expected Dallas to go up 14-0? Who expected there to be a turnover, Eric Decker to have a turnover? Dallas gets the ball first, they march down the field and score, and then Peyton Manning gets the ball, and, you know, the first play is a turnover, and Dallas gets the ball and scores, and now it's 14-0. No one predicted that, and at that moment, if you're a Cowboy fan, you had to be a little happy. You had to say, okay, this team came to play. Because we're not used to the Cowboys playing good teams and going up 14-0. It doesn't happen. Look at the history of a Tony Romo-led Dallas team, and it generally doesn't happen. They usually come back late to rally and make it close, but it doesn't happen. So that was the first thing that had me take notice, that the teams came to play 14-0. I was under no illusions that the Cowboys were going to blow out the Broncos because it was 14-0, because I know who Peyton Manning is and I know what that team is. But it was just nice to see 14-0 Dallas and not 14-0 Denver like most of the world predicted. But as we knew, Peyton Manning came back, and he came back with a vengeance. And I think one of the turning points in that quarter was when Dallas was able to come back and get that field goal at the end of the half to make it a one-score game, because it now was 28-20 instead of 28-17, because the Broncos had outscored Dallas 28-3. And so for that portion of the game, Dallas didn't look very good, and it was a big momentum save to go in and get that field goal at half and to make it 28-20, a one-score game. But as many people knew, Peyton Manning got the ball first, and, you know, they were going to come out and score first, because that's what they do. Other thing to remember is Dallas scored on an opening drive for the first time against Denver in 19 games. 19 games, no one had scored on the opening drive, and Dallas did that. Okay, second half, Denver comes out and scores. 35-20, Dallas has the ball. As a Cowboy and football fan, I said, this is a defining moment. The Cowboys need to score here or the game is over. Not only did they scored in a vengeance, 82-yard touchdown pass to Terrence Williams. And now it's 35-27, and now it's game on. And from that point on, it was a battle. Back and forth, ebbs and flows, you know, and it was masterful watching Manning do what Manning always does, but then on the other side of the ball to see someone doing just as much, if not maybe just a little bit more, because Denver had a little bit of a running game and Dallas didn't. So thus the difference in the stats where Tony had to throw because we couldn't run the ball. And it was just incredible to watch the command that Tony Romo had equal to what Peyton Manning did. It was just, I'd never seen anybody do to Peyton Manning what he's done to so many people and just go out and put points where Peyton had to go grab his helmet and say, okay, my turn. And then Tony grabs him and said, okay, I got you. And it's, I mean, it was just back. Well, it was beautiful, beautiful. So, but now let's get to the home stretch of the game. Let's get to where, you know, people have opinions that I just have to question, are these people football minds? Dallas is up 48-41. And Peyton has the ball. And I want everybody to understand that it got to 3rd and 10 with Dallas up by 7 points. And Peyton hit the check down, no Sean Moreno, and no Sean Moreno got 11 yards. Caught the ball at 6 and ran and got hit and managed to get first down. If he had been covered because no one had him, maybe they don't convert and maybe Dallas gets the ball back and we're not having this conversation. Okay? But nevertheless, big third down play, defense doesn't show up. Mistake number one. Okay? So now it's 48-48. All right? Dallas gets the ball. Dallas completes a pass. Holding penalty. Nullifies the completion. Bring it back. Dallas runs another play. Sack. Now we're 2nd and long. Bring it back. Okay? Watch the tape. Now, Tony Romo knows holding and a sack. He already had a completion that was nullified. He knows I can't get sacked again, because if I get sacked, it's 3rd and miles, and we're not going to convert more than likely because I'm backed up to the end zone, so I can't hold the ball. I can't scramble. We're probably not going to be able to convert, and we're going to kick, and they're going to get the ball about midfield, and the game is over. So I have to make a play now. I have to. So remember, that's the mindset. I've got to make a play because Peyton Manning is going to score if he gets the ball. So I got to make a play. So he goes back to pass, 3-man rush, and they drive the O-line back towards Romo. 3-man rush. He doesn't have a lot of room to work because he's already back to the end zone. O'Leary is pushed back into Romo, who can't step into the pass. Now, I will say this. He could have checked down to DeMarco Murray. Could he see DeMarco? I don't know. Romo's 6'2". He's not 6'6 like Peyton Manning. So I don't know. We can see it, but could he see DeMarco? I don't know. He did miss that check down. I got no issue with people saying, why didn't he check down? I got no problem with that. But he tried to step in and make a pass that has been completed to the seam, to the tight ends all game. Keyshawn Johnson, who is not a Cowboy lover, who any chance he gets throws the Cowboys under the bus, said that Escobar, the rookie tight end, ran the wrong route. He should have did a sharp down and in, and he curled in the route. And because it took him so long, it gave the defense a chance. And the defensive guy dived, the rookie linebacker, dived to make a great play. All of those factors led into a turnover. Not Tony Romo choking. Not Tony Romo, like he did last year against Washington in the last game. That was a bad play, and he threw it right to the defense. No. He did the play that had been working all game with mitigating factors that created a turnover. Near I mind everyone that Peyton Manning had a turnover too, threw a pick, his first pick of the year. And yet, it's just because it was done at the beginning of the fourth quarter and not the end. No one's talking about that, but everybody's talking about Romo's. And the last comment I'll make is then I'll let Dr. Train jump in and say and comment. All you people that said, here goes Tony again, and this is what we expect. Remember this, and it's been said on every major talk show out there. Without Romo, this is a blowout. Without Romo playing at an elite level, at a Hall of Fame level, at an NFL record level, certainly franchise record, but definitely NFL record level. Without that, this game is a blowout. And to discount what Romo did for 58 minutes because of the mistake that he made at the end, which arguably may not have been a mistake per se, just was not the greatest pass in the world and a great defensive play, is ludicrous. It is ridiculous. It is just insane. Train, it's on you now. I'm angry right now.
Yeah, this is where we need K-Star, because clearly he would debate the hell out of you. But I look at it, man, and all I can say, it was a very good game played by Tony Romo. It's unfortunate that everyone pins it down to an interception, because I take a stance like this. If my team put up 48 points and we lose, I'm just wondering, where's my defense?
Thank you.
That's my first question. Secondly, you know, the way you point out the play and exactly how to play breakdown, yeah, you can definitely say Tony Romo missed the check down. But you can definitely say a diving linebacker, and he actually intercepted the ball. We've seen players dive at balls all the time, you know, to make interceptions, and they'll drop them. But no, he actually intercepted the ball diving for it. So, I mean, it's a great play. It's a great play by Denver. But to just sum up Tony Romo's whole performance to that one interception, I definitely think is an unfair assessment. Great play by Denver. And you talk about getting the line pushed back on a three-man rush. You can't hold a three-man rush just so he can get a quick check down. That's it takes a team to get a play to work. It's all execution is not just the quarterback. Execution is everybody. Offensive line, receivers, tight end, running backs, everyone has to do their part. If they don't, a play cannot get executed properly. It just comes down to his whole game has been summed up to an interception. That dude played phenomenally. He really did.
You know, and again, the other point you make is probably the strongest point that I've overlooked. I don't think four times in NFL history have someone scored 48 or more points and lost. I mean, you put 48 points on the board. Denver's franchise record for points is 52. And they just scored that the week before, okay? You put 48 points on the board, 99% of the time you're winning the game. You're not even in position to have to stress a late interception, okay? You're winning the game. So I think people have to understand that the problem is Sean Lee. I will give Sean Lee all the credit in the world, because Sean Lee came right out at the press conference after he was interviewed his locker, and he said, "We were terrible. The defense was terrible. Anybody who's putting this game on Romo needs to have their head examined." You know, they scored 48 points, and we lost that game. That is 100% our fault. Romo played his ass off, and he played at a level that some quarterbacks have never seen, you know, and dare I say most of the people talking crap, their quarterbacks have never seen. I'm sorry. I've spoken very highly of Ben Roethlisberger, K-Star, if you're listening or if you catch the archive. Ben Roethlisberger has never, ever had a game on that level. Never. Brady? Yes, he has. Drew Brees? Yes, he has. Aaron Rodgers? I'd have to look. I'm not sure. Maybe. Aaron Rodgers maybe has had a game close to 5-6 touchdowns, 400-plus yards, maybe close. But not Big Brent.
That's yeah, he's thrown he's thrown for 6 touchdowns before. I don't know about
yeah,
5 and he's definitely something.
Yeah, well, that's touchdowns. What I'm saying. I'm talking both.
Yeah.
I'm talking close to 500 yards and 5-6 touchdowns. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know Rodgers has had the touchdowns. Not sure about the yards, but I'll put him in that category, too, as you labeled them the four horsemen. Very adequately so. I think that's a great battle of them. And Romo, throw him in there for this performance, not overall, but for this performance, and frankly, for this season. And for people that want to down him and say he did it again, let me throw another stat at everybody. Let me throw another stat at you. Since 2006, Tony Romo has thrown an interception in the fourth quarter 8 times when the Cowboys were either tied or up by 7. 8 times. Tom Brady, since 2006, has done it 7 times. Okay? Romo leads, and there are 3 quarterbacks that have done it 7 times, and Tom Brady is on that list. We can all agree Tom Brady is a pretty damn good quarterback, isn't he? We can all agree that Tom Brady, although he has not won a Super Bowl since 2006, has certainly established himself as one of the all-time great quarterbacks. He's done it 7 times. So, and Tony Romo still has one of the highest, if not the highest, fourth quarter quarterback ratings of all time. So let us put things in perspective. When we judge Romo's complete play, let us look at the complete game. Now, has he made mistakes late? Absolutely. Has his mistakes hurt the Cowboys? Absolutely. But has he been the problem on this team? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And people have...
Well, T, I think we have someone who will come on and take the place of K-Star for you. My main man, Saint, who I have not heard from in some time. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, I miss y'all so much. Oh, man, and I just got on. I'm coming from the prison. I had a minister at the prison, and I said, man, let me see if I can catch him. And y'all are talking exactly about what I wanted to hear you talk about.
Come correct, because I ain't in the mood.
Now, listen, though, Tito. I agree with you, man. I hate that people are coming down on Tony Romo because I thought he played superb. But I think what you're missing in your argument is that's why people come down on him. It's like he has the skills. I would love to see him here in Tennessee. He has more skills at a quarterback and make the throws that most quarterbacks can't make. It's like he has the ability of a big-time quarterback, but he's never able to pull off the big moment or the big game. He just ain't never able to finish, and I think that's why he gets ridiculed and criticized, man. And I hate it for him because he has the stuff.
But is
he
it
has
job,
the stuff.
Is it always his job? When you say finish, finish is the team. Finish is the defense, the offense. Finish is a philosophy of we are winning, and we have to finish. The Cowboys are up 48-41. The defense has pretty much, other than Maurice Claiborne's one interception on, the interception and then the strip earlier in the first, and Claiborne got the recovery in the first quarter, and then Claiborne, you know, part of the 2 turnovers. The defense had not taken the Broncos didn't punt all day, not one punt. So you're up 48-41. Hear me out. You're up 48-41, okay, and you've got to figure out one time how to stop Peyton Manning. One drive. Isn't that the defensive job to finish now? The offense just put up 48 points. You have the lead. It's the fourth quarter. If you stop Peyton Manning, one drive, you get the ball back, more than likely you could run the clock out, and the defense didn't do it. Why isn't that the issue? 48
because
points.
The reason why it's not an issue
you know this, I know this, the world know this, because we might be watching the best offense run by the best quarterback of all time. The defense could not win that game. It just couldn't. If the game was going to get win, and it's, and I put it like this, if anybody's going to beat that team, it's going to have to be a quarterback.
Would you admit that that interception on Romo was a diving play by a linebacker, and it was a great play? Would you
absolutely
continue?
No. Okay. Listen, I'm with you on that.
So the Denver defense stepped up. A rookie on the Denver defense knew when to take a chance and make a play and succeeded. And that is why Denver won that game, because this rookie took a chance and dived for a ball and made a play, because Denver knew they needed to get that ball back. And they
but
did.
Also,
they had
also you can't
either.
Ignore, though. Hold on. You can't ignore that Romo had a man wide open.
Wide open for the check down.
I'm
questioning is, because I've never played quarterback in the NFL, and I have to watch this play again, but Romo's 6'1", 6'2". Okay, Peyton Manning's 6'6". Peyton Manning can see over pretty much any lineman. And with the pressure, the three-man rush, which is a shame, because the offensive line played a great game, giving Romo time, even though he got sacked three or four times. But for the most part, they played a solid game, at least protecting Romo.
Yeah.
So why a three-man rush was able to put pressure, I don't know. But the reality is, three-man rush was putting pressure on Romo. So I don't know, because he didn't answer. He wasn't asked, did you see Murray? He went to something that had been working all game, and what he said was, you know, in the last two minutes, we saw some things on film in previous games that we thought we could exploit, and so that's the play that he went for. Okay, Murray was open. I don't know that he saw him or didn't saw him, but clearly he missed the check down. Why? I don't know. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But we can't ignore all the other factors of the play, and I think it's one of those situations where people want to blame Romo, and so every time something like this happens, automatically they jump to, here he goes. It's classic Tony. And no one sits down and looks at what actually happened. And to me, the biggest issue, the huge issue to me is, where was the defense? Their defense.
You can't, I mean, I'm just saying, though, but you, I hear what you're saying about the defense, but you know as well as I know, right now we have, it's like Mayweather. It's like saying, where is the offense? Where is people hitting Mayweather? And there's no answer to it right now. You can't hit the guy. He's too. That's just like this offense. They are clowning on everybody. But let me ask you this real quick, because I want to know, how did you feel? What did you feel like what was going to happen? Did you think Romo was going to take them down on that last drive and win the game? Or how did you feel?
I
heard a lot of people feel like he was going to do exactly what happened.
No, a lot of people do, because those aren't Cowboys games. I had absolutely all the faith in the world that we were going to win that game.
Really?
And frankly, I sat there and I said, Tony, it's time for you to shut up the critic. I said the same thing I said in December when Dallas was playing Washington and Tony got the ball. And I said, it's time for you to shut up the critics. And he threw an interception. And I got disgusted with him because it was a bad play. And I can't defend that play. This play, I can defend. I thought Tony was going to go down. Now, here's where I got worried. He hit Terrence Williams, I think it was Terrence Williams, for a big play, and we got called for holding. I said, uh-oh, the offense is starting to implode. Then the next play, he gets sacked. I said, uh-oh, not Tony Romo, the offense is starting to implode, because now we've got a sack and we've got a holding penalty. Where all game, they've moved the ball up and down the field like nothing, with very few penalties and only a couple of sacks. And now in one drive, we have a holding penalty and a sack. Now I got worried. Not that Tony was going to make a mistake, that the offense was imploding, and this was not the time to implode. I got worried. And then, of course, the pick happened, and at no point in time did I say, oh, Tony, not again. I said, I'm not surprised, because the offense was imploding. I saw the pressure, and I saw the fact that the guy stepped on his foot and he couldn't throw into the play. And then I saw, frankly, a linebacker make a heck of a play. And there's no accounting for that in the NFL. Sometimes a guy just makes a heck of a play, and that's exactly what happened. But I will say it again. The difference in that game was when Denver's defense needed to step up and stop
something they could not stop all game, they did.
Yeah.
When Dallas defense needs to step up and stop something that they couldn't stop all game, they didn't do it.
I hear what you're saying, but there comes a time in a big-time player's life where they have, just like you said, you have to shut up the critics. You got to make the big play. And with all, I just think that's what separates Tony Romo, and I think it works against him because people see how good he is. I mean, he probably has more ability. Just like you said, not too many people can go out there and have a game like that, make the throws he made. I mean, even with his leg escaping the pocket, I mean, he was beautiful. I was rooting for him. He's my – I started him on my fantasy football team, so, you know, I was really rooting for him.
You
had Vic. You know, listen, you know, I like Vic. I'm a Vic man. I like Vic. I put Vic on the bench because he ain't doing nothing. See, I'm honest with Vic now. He's not a winner, man. Vic ain't a winner. But Romo got game, but he just haven't had that big moment where he showed that – he can pull it out in the end. He just ain't done it.
Well,
and
I don't know if he can do it.
I think
there are overwhelming, if you want to look at stats, there are, you know, he's won plenty of games in the fourth quarter. He has a very high fourth quarter quarterback rating.
I'm talking about the big game, T.
Well,
what
I mean,
separates
you, know,
you, man, from the men, from the boys.
The big game.
Can he win the big one?
There are games that Romo has made mistakes, and I will submit to you that I've seen every major quarterback in crunch time make a mistake, including Tom Brady, including Peyton Manning, who's 9-11 in the playoffs. That's his career record in the playoffs.
You're avoiding the big game scenario. Come on.
I'm not avoiding.
Can he win the big
one? The question? Yeah, of course he can. Absolutely.
When is he going? He hasn't done it, though.
Of course he has.
He's losing.
Did we not sweep Philadelphia 3 games 2 years ago, including two in
their thing? Philadelphia ain't no big game.
Come on, man.
It ain't never been a big game.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely. And the last game of the season was a big game because it was deciding who was going to win the division and who wasn't, and then a playoff game. And beat Phil. How many times can a team beat the same team that's in their division or beat any team 3 times in 1 year? And Romo led the Cowboys to beat the Eagles under Donovan McNabb 3 times that year and won his first playoff game. So, yes, he has won the big game. And I watched all three of those games. And one of them I was in Philly watching with a lot of Philadelphia fans. So, yeah, the answer to your question is, yes, Romo can win the big game. And the epitaph on his career is not over yet. I think people have
The one thing I want to hit on this topic is the comments made by the owner Jerry Jones to say that this is a moral victory, and of course his son came back and said something different, saying that there are no moral victories. And he, as a Cowboy fan, you know, knowing how good Denver was going into this game, and we had the talk show Friday, and you said, and we both stated what the Cowboys needed to do in order to win this game. Would you agree with Jerry Jones that this is a moral victory, or were you more on the side, hey, this is a game, you had a chance to win it?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. Now, let me answer it in the way that I'd like to answer it, so you got to give me a minute.
All right.
The game is over. It's a heartbreaking loss. And Jerry Jones is a very intelligent man, and he knows that the pundits and the critics are going to roast Tony Romo. Because he knows that the perception is, here we go again. And he knows what's going to happen. And Jerry Jones realizes that we have 11 more games left. Okay? I don't know what the heck that is. We have 11 more games to play. Okay? And his job as owner, president, and general manager is, how do we move forward? How do we set the stage to move forward? I'm being interviewed, and the players are going to hear my words. So what do I say? Do I come out and say, I can't believe Tony did this? I can't believe we threw an interception. You just can't throw an interception. It was a great effort, but we need to win these games. Do I say this as the guy who's signing the checks and is the owner, president, and general manager? Or do I come out and show support for a team that fought all the way to the end, and I need this team to benefit from this game and not view it as a heartbreaking loss, because we got to turn around and host the Redskins in a week, and we've got to figure out how to win this division. I need to figure out what to say to motivate these guys to not take this loss as hard as I know they're going to take it. So, with that said, Jerry Jones said what needed to be said. He needed to praise Tony Romo. He needed to praise the team's effort. That's what needed to be said. The reality of it is, Stephen Jones is absolutely right. No, there's no moral victory. Of course not. Of course we want the win. And there's not a Dallas Cowboy fan around that's walking around saying, oh, well, we tried. Thanks for the memory. No, it sucks. Hate it. We don't play the game. We don't play to. We play to win Super Bowls. That's what being a Dallas Cowboy fan is all about. We play to win Super Bowls. There's no second best. There's no consolation prize. But I don't own the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones does. And he is the most influential voice on that team. He's got to be careful what he says. Period. So I understand completely why he said what he said. And I will say this. If the Cowboys come out next week and play lights out and crush a very crushable Washington Redskins team, then Jerry Jones is absolutely right, because this team realizes we can go toe-to-toe with any team in the NFL. We've played 2 5-0 teams and could have won both those games. Arguably two of the best teams in the league, and we could have beat them both. And we need to walk away from that and play on that level every single week now, with no excuses, no bull, no letdowns like you had against San Diego, no up and downs like you had against, obviously, a crappy New York team that you barely beat. No, you need to play on the level you played against the Broncos every week. And if that is what comes out of us, then, yeah, in 5 or 6 weeks, I can come back and say, wow, look at my team that's, you know, 8-3 or 7-4 and leading their division by 2 games and considered one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And look at how they beat the Saints and did this and did that. Then, yes, Jerry Jones is absolutely right. If you go out next and you're flat and you let the Redskins whoop up on you and you lose 31-10, then this game meant nothing. Then this game meant nothing. Absolutely zero was benefited from this game. Then you just lost, and it means nothing. So I will see what my team does against the Redskins next week, and I am hoping that they come out realizing what they can do, and that they go out and play that level. Got to work on the defense. You know, they got some stuff got to get done on that defense. But that offense knows it's high powered, and they need to go out there and play that way every week, just like Peyton Manning does every week.
Well, I do know with any defense, you do need the players to fit this game, and they are, I mean, the cover two, the strength of the cover two is the D-line. And once you start suffering injuries on the D-line, that defense tends to get weaker and weaker, because it's not it's predicated with getting pressure with the front four and without having the blitz. And that's how you're able to take the turnovers. I definitely have to agree with you. The way you put it, as his reasoning for why Jerry Jones says it, I mean, that makes sense. From a fan's point of view, I'm just like, win the game. I don't want a moral victory. But also, from a fan's point of view, I'm kind of smiling a bit, because if I was a Cowboys fan, yeah, I'm ticked we lost. Damn, Romo, protect the ball at least so we punt it off, get a defensive chance. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, we can play like this moving forward.
Right.
We good to go.
Right.
You know, so that's the other way. If I was a Cowboys fan, that's how I would look at it.
Well, and one other thing I wanted to say, you talked about the defense and the defensive line. I want to say this, and I have a DeMarcus Ware jersey. DeMarcus Ware is one of my favorite players, just because I know his story, I know his personal story, and I just like him as a human being and as just a person too, and I love him as a player, and I love his work ethic. But with that said, and you know, he's definitely, he's a sack expert and arguably on his way to the Hall of Fame, just with the numbers that he's done in the league. I think since he's been in the league, he's got more sacks than anybody. But with all that said, all the positive about DeMarcus Ware, I don't want to talk negative about him, but I do want to say that it is ironic to me that when we talk about who doesn't show up in a big game. I can make a case that DeMarcus Ware does not show up in some of the big games. You really almost didn't know that DeMarcus Ware played for the Dallas Cowboys. And they had one-on-one, pretty much one-on-one coverage on him, one-on-one blocking on him all game. And I know
with a backup left tackle.
With a backup left tackle. And I know he's had some injuries, okay, but this is DeMarcus Ware. Okay, we're talking like, you know, no excuses. You are an all-pro, possibly future Hall of Fame, definitely Ring of Honor, you know, one of the top pass rushers in the game, and may go down as one of the top pass rushers when you talk all time, when you talk LT, when you talk Reggie White, Michael Strahan, and, you know, these guys that have just been considered all-time pass rushers. He may be in that conversation soon. You have to get to the quarterback. You have to get pressure on the quarterback. You have to. To me, that's the other part of this game that people didn't talk about enough was Peyton Manning. I don't care that he gets fast release and checkdowns, all stuff he does. You still have to disrupt him. We've seen if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, any of these guys are under duress, that there's a problem. And DeMarcus Ware, really, I mean, the only time Peyton Manning had a hand on him was when George Selby grabbed his face mask accidentally. There's blame to be spread around here. And DeMarcus Ware in this particular game, I'm sorry, he let us down. He really didn't do his job, in my opinion. And I just want people to realize when you're talking about blame, I don't see Tony Romo in that conversation, but I could see DeMarcus Ware and some defense players here in that conversation. That's all I want to say.
Well, like you said, when Saint talks about finish, it's a whole team needs to finish. Not just one player.
Right.
Not just one player.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're welcome to stay with us, brother. We.
I just,
anything,
man,
you
want to
say about the topic before we move on?
Yeah, I just want to say, we can't overlook Brother T, minister of Tony Romo and Cowboys Missionary Baptist Church. Listen, we can't underestimate that. Dude, we are looking at probably the best offense in football history. I know you feel like the defense should have stepped up. I'm thinking just the one pick they got on him had to be enough for them to win the game. Nobody expected them to win this game, not even it to be a game. I didn't. I didn't think it would be close.
Yeah, but
and so I know the defense had something to do. I know it was a team effort. But, man, I didn't expect nothing from nobody's defense.
Okay. But,
maybe if it's Seattle playing them.
But Saint. Not one punt the whole game.
That's
not
what they've been doing all year, just about.
But that's not –
Yes,
that's what they've been doing all year. But you're in a game where no one has been able to go toe-to-toe with Peyton Manning either all year, right? No offense.
Exactly.
What the Dallas offense did. So the defense, all I'm saying is not one stop. Okay, yeah, they got a turnover.
They got the pick. Did they get a fumble too?
Yeah.
They got a fumble.
They got two
game.
Turnovers.
But when it was, you talk about Tony Romo, 2.5 minutes to go, and he can't throw a pick, okay? That's the argument. I'm saying it's 48-41. New England has the ball, 5-6 minutes to go, and they're in their own territory, and Dallas is up by a touchdown. Now is the time for a stop. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you needed to stop them all game. There's no way that's going to happen. But up to that point, you have to
I just
to
don't
stop.
See how you can expect that from this.
But you have to.
Who can expect
their
that?
Job.
But you have to, though, Saint. There's no way that a team can turn around and that a team can beat Denver if you can't make Denver offense get off the field. So you got to have an expectation out of your defense.
Beat them?
Make some
Who's
key stops. Hey, look
Who's
out. This is a long season.
Boys?
I said expect the unexpected. Look out. Don't be surprised if Kansas City
still won. I didn't expect nobody to get this close. But even with them getting this close, we have yet to see anybody slow these guys. Nobody has
slowed
them
down. The one thing you
got
to look at who the Denver has faced, you need to look at the defenses that Denver has faced and start ranking those. And the minute they meet a defense that can match their offense, then you're going to have a game. You know, other than an offense that can match that offense, you just need a defense that can match that offense. You're going to have a different game.
That defense has always hurt big-time offenses like that. But I'm just saying, as of now, since the beginning, since preseason, we haven't seen nobody slow them down, let alone stop them. We ain't seen nobody slow them down.
But that
don't know how to do it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you excuse it. That's their job. You are your job is to get a stop.
I'm just trying to tell you, just like fighting Mayweather. Yes, their job to knock Mayweather out. How do you do it?
But
how could you go in there expecting somebody to do that?
And it was a fight
especially
against Miguel
at a big time
and Miguel Cotto got to Floyd Mayweather, didn't he? To where Floyd Mayweather went back and said, "Oops, I need to go ahead and bring my father back." Because Roger's a great trainer, but my father is the one that taught me my defense. And that was when Floyd was sitting in the side, sitting on in the corner, nose all bloody, smiling, because Miguel Cotto figured out how to get to him. Didn't beat him, but he figured out how to get to him. And that's when Floyd said, "Oops, I'm bringing back my dad." And that's when his dad's been in his corner ever since. So my point is...
No, man, I have never seen Mayweather... Not even hurt a little.
I haven't watched every fight, man.
No,
I've watched all his fights.
Miguel Cotto bloodied his nose, man. Go ahead and watch the fight. I saw it. I'm telling you. Miguel Cotto bloodied his nose. Yeah.
Okay. Even if, okay, is that the pick? I mean, did he do anything? Or did he get lucky on a punch? I don't remember Mayweather ever getting hurt.
Mayweather will admit that he took too much punishment from Miguel Cotto. He took too many hits from Cotto, and that's why he went back. He said, "I'm not going to be able to last if I keep fighting this way," and that's why he went back and got his father to train him. My point is someone figured it out. They didn't beat him, but he figured out how to hit him, how to cause him duress. Well, the Cowboys didn't figure that out all game. You fired Rob Ryan for having a vocal defense. You fired him, and he goes to New Orleans, and they have the defense in the NFL right now. You bring in Monty Kiffin, 70-something-year-old man, who won a 25 years ago, and you bring in the Tampa 2. I want defense because the Tampa 2 puts pressure and gets turnovers, and that's something Dallas wasn't able to do. But preseason it looked good, but guess what? The regular season, it ain't done nothing. It ain't done nothing. Well, what was the point? The point of the defense is to stop the offense. These guys are getting paid. They're on the field. And you know what? I'm trying to tell you, this team misses the nose tackle guy. Because he's the guy, to me, that would have made a difference. Oh, man, I can't remember his name. The nose tackle's been out all season. Someone had to...
His name is right there. They just spoke about him today because of Spencer and... Ratliff? No.
Yeah, Jay Ratliff. No. Thank you very much, Jay Ratliff. Because Jay Ratliff, I mean, that's the guy who plays with fire. And someone had to fire up that defense and say, "Guys, we need to lock them down. We need a three and out here. We ain't done it all."
Dude, come on. Now listen to what you're saying. You're talking about Peyton Manning with weapons.
I don't care who he is.
Three and out?
He's a football player.
Three and out? He's playing
exactly
bigger than a football player right now. He's playing the best football I've ever seen this man play.
You're speaking as a fan, not as someone who got on the field. If you're getting on the field and you're intimidated by Peyton Manning, quit. Quit.
No, I'm speaking as somebody who's not on the field. Come on. I mean, you know, as an athlete, you got to believe you can stop him. But let's look at the history. Let's look at how it's going right now. Nobody's stopping this guy. Nobody's been able to slow him down.
We're not asking you to shut him down the whole game. We're saying one stop.
No, but they got two turnovers from that offense.
Okay, and now we needed a stop. You're up by a touchdown. Your job is to go there.
And what did Denver need? We're talking about the best offense in the league. What did they need? They needed to score. And that's what they did.
But the pick was already in field goal range. Didn't do anything.
You're acting like the expectation is not realistic. And then why are you playing the game? That's your job.
Well, I think the expectation.
The defensive coordinator is to stop the offense.
Yeah, but this is the difference. I think the expectation should have been more on Tony Romo making that last drive than on the defense stopping the Broncos.
You are delusional because because
we've seen him move. I mean, we saw him move the ball up and down the field the whole game.
Let me help you both out. Let me make this point. Saint, if you are telling that to expect the defense to go in there and to stop Peyton Manning is unrealistic, I am telling you, you are delusional. That is their job. That's why they are on the field. And any defense that doesn't think that they can stop Peyton Manning, should quit. Go play rugby.
I'm not speaking as a member of the Cowboys defense, T. I'm speaking as somebody that's a football fan who just loves the sport, loves the game, watches it with my eyes, judges reasonably. Right now, I don't expect nobody to stop Peyton Manning. He has to score in this offense. It's not just him, but it's this offense with weapons. I do not expect anybody to stop him when he has to score on a last-minute drive. Now, maybe in the playoffs, it's a little different with Peyton Manning. But right now, how things are going. I don't expect nobody to stop him ever, really, to be honest, because they haven't shown me, nobody showed me how to do it or that they can't even do.
So 37 points against the Raiders. So what did the Raiders do where he walked away with 37 and not 50?
He just didn't have to score. I mean, you get up by so many, you got the game points, so you don't have to put up points.
Wait. They scored 52 against Philly, and Philly only scored 20 points. What are you talking about? He goes out there to score points. That's what he does.
Philadelphia has the worst defense in football.
My point, though, you're making my point for me. My point is
the worst defense in football.
The defensive job is to stop Peyton Manning. You can say as a fan, you don't expect that. That's fine. So then you, as a fan, could not expect that. As a defensive coordinator, a head coach, or an owner, or general manager, you expected it. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. If I'm a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, I'm just talking just like you. I expect them to go out there and stop.
As a fan, for me, just like I expected Tony Romo to score when he had the ball, I expect the defense to stop Peyton Manning when they're on the field. That's what I expect.
Buck,
let's
get voice of reason. Buck, which one is more reasonable right now? In that game, which one would be more reasonable? For Romo to drive the ball, that last drive, for him to drive it up there and score, or for their defense to stop Peyton Manning and company?
Considering the flow of that game, I would definitely want Romo on the field versus the defense going against Peyton Manning because of the flow of the game. But I think even as a football fan, I think you're still missing the fact that you played a whole, 60 minutes, and your defense doesn't get one punt. I mean, it's not like Denver hasn't punted all season. They had punts. So
15 total.
What is it, like one a game?
But it doesn't. If it's 15, it's five games. That's three. That's math right there. So, but the whole point is, I mean, you need
has anybody
a defensive
got two
stop
turnovers
here
on,
and there so you can get that edge. I mean, you need that. So it's not unrealistic to expect your defense to maybe get a few stops. It's not.
No, we're not talking about a few stops, are we? We're talking about the big stop. Is that what we're talking about, T? We're talking about the big stop.
There was really no chance for. The big stop with the 48-47, but that's still a stop.
So Peyton Manning has the ball.
Yes.
And Peyton Manning doesn't let Tony Romo get the ball back because he knows that Romo's been scoring all game. So he didn't want his defense to play against Tony Romo. But I will assure you that if no Sean Moreno had went in and scored and Romo had the ball with a minute and 50 seconds to go, that Peyton Manning would have been the biggest cheerleader for his defense saying, we need one stop, guys. Come on, you got to do it. That is the expectation. Obviously, neither defense for that
no,
game.
No, being a cheerleader and expecting it is two different things. He, if they would have got the ball back, you think he would expect his defense to hold?
Yes, he would have. Just like he expected his defense to stop them when they got the interception.
That's why he didn't want them to get
the
ball back.
They needed a stop.
Yeah, but that's why he didn't want them to get the ball back, fellas.
That's a lack.
He knew what time he was.
Well, of course, this is the reason why they didn't go ahead and score with almost 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, I mean,
I get your argument, but at the same time,
you're also proving T's
point.
Well, you are, because you're saying from any blame, it's all on the offense, and I'm saying that is ridiculous.
I'm just saying that game was going to get won. It was going to get won by Tony Romo and that Cowboys offense.
It was actually won by Denver's defense making a great play. That's what won the game. And I'm saying it had been the Dallas.
It just depends on whichever way you want to put it. I mean,
well,
some people would say it was Denver's defense, and some people would say it was a bad choice or, you know, just a –
Well, finishing the game by the offense. You cannot deny that was not a pass thrown right at the defense. That was a pass that the guy dived for and made a great play. Regardless, you have to watch the play.
See, but that's like, I mean, you're kind of making an excuse for the pick, though, too.
No, that's not an excuse. That's not
that,
a touch to me. When you're talking about someone trying to make an excuse, that means you're taking away from what Denver did on that play. First of all, it's a three-man rush. That looked like it was a five-man rush. It was a three-man rush that looked like it was a blitz. So now Tony Romo is under pressure, in which he shouldn't have been. So now he gets rid of the ball. Now you got a diving linebacker. That's not an excuse. There's no excuse there. That's a good
excuse
by Denver.
So
all from the line to the linebacker, that's a good play by Denver. That's not an excuse.
Hold on, man. You think Romo or any big quarterback, you think Brady or Peyton Manning is saying, oh, well, they just got me. You know, they rushed me too hard and a diving linebacker.
Yes. They can be. Of course defenses can get them. Come on, dude. Just because they're the fourth horseman, don't mean that they're immune to a good play by defense. Seriously?
Oh, I'm just saying they don't
make
excuses for picks they throw. They don't make excuses for them throwing picks.
I'm not saying that T's trying to make an excuse. I'm telling you it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse when the defense makes a good play. That's not an excuse. The defense made a good play.
I think that I have been very frank about Romo and my issues and concerns with him, but I look at each. I don't do what everyone else does and try to draw conclusions based on multiple games. I judge each game for what happened in that game, because when you're playing that game, that's all that matters. The history, all the statistics about the history and the good and the, it doesn't matter. They're on the field for that game. When Romo threw the interception against Washington last year, week 17, and they picked it off, I made no excuses. It was a horrible play. He deserved every ounce of criticism that he got for that play. You want to say he choked or he made a mistake or whatever? I made no, and you can check the recording of the show.
I remember that game.
I made no excuses. This game, it's not an excuse to state that the defense made a great play. They got a three-man rush on a six-man line, and the linebacker, who was a rookie, mind you, made a diving interception. It was a great play. I don't take anything away from that defense. It was a great play. It was a better play than Mo Claiborne's interception. That was clearly an underthrown ball by Peyton Manning. Clearly underthrown. Mo Claiborne made it.
I'm not saying it wasn't a great play, but you can't not take any of that play away from Tony. Well, I mean, you can't just say it was none of Tony Romo's fault.
I didn't say because
he did throw the ball.
It looked like it was
three man covering the guy.
I said that he could have checked down to DeMarco Murray. I don't know whether he saw him or not, but Murray was wide open and maybe could have ran for a first down. I don't know. And that was Romo's mistake. He should have just checked it down. So I'm not absolving Tony Romo. But to put and say that he choked and this, that, and the other, I think is wrong. And to let the defense off the hook and not think that they couldn't get a stop You know, you say Romo needs to come up big at the big time of the game. Well, where was DeMarcus Ware and where was the defense when they needed to stop? That's all I'm saying is.
And the reason why, and the reason I'm saying what I'm saying, or the reason maybe I'm defending people who are not blaming the defense, is because we don't know how to stop these guys. They are doing everybody the same way. They're having their will with everybody up and down the field, all since preseason.
To me,
nobody has shown the experts. Nobody knows how to stop these guys.
Yeah,
nobody does.
But it doesn't mean that it's not your job. It doesn't mean that it's okay. Your job, the defensive coordinator puts a plan together with the head coach, and those guys' job is to execute. And I can tell you, Brandon Carr got burned many times. They played man coverage in a cover two scheme, which is more zone than man. They played a lot of man coverage to throw Peyton Manning off. They tried the blitz. They tried a lot of different things. And these guys, I mean, they barely put a hand on Peyton Manning. Who's winning the one-on-one battles? Who's covering the freaking tight end that's making catches on him? Who's covering Decker? You know, that's my point. Who's stopping Sean Moreno, who I believe he ran 400 yards. I have to go look, but I think he ran 400 yards. That's my point is the defense has jobs to do, and the jobs weren't getting done either. So now it's 48-41. Defense hasn't played well all game on either side of the ball. We needed the Dallas defense to step up and make a stop. They didn't do it. Peyton comes down and scored. Now, Denver needs their defense to come up and make a stop. Guess what? They did. They made a stop.
And with the stop, I'm saying you could look at it like this, too. You're not going to like what I'm about to say. But Tony Romo or the offensive line, we could blame them, but it put them in a position where they could make a stop. And they didn't just make a stop. They made a turnover. They created a turnover. And they put him in the position to do that. It was the pass, and he stepped on the lineman's foot. I mean,
that's why I call it a good defensive play versus, you know, that's why I call it good defense versus, you know, a bad technique by offense. They didn't protect him. They didn't protect him. They didn't give him the time he needed because had he had the time, had he had the protection, you saw what he was doing all game. He would have continued to do the same thing. So that's why I think you're missing it. You're saying Tony Romo, Tony Romo, Tony Romo.
You would put it more on the defense, or you would put it more on Denver's defense than on the offense of the Cowboys.
When you look at that play, you have to put it more on Denver's defense. Have to put it that Denver's defense made a play when they needed to.
I mean, I can almost go there with you if I didn't see who was it, the running back?
It was DeMarco Murray, but Tony Romo is not the only quarterback in the league that missed a wide open dude because of the play by the defense. Here's the thing with football. Good defense is designed for you to miss the wide open guy. So that you can throw the ball to the man that's covered. That's how defense works. So, that's why I say it's good defense by Denver because that's exactly what they did. They gave the pressure. He missed his check down. He's trying to get rid of the ball, trying to make a play, and Denver makes a better play.
Who's been playing good defense? Romo makes that pass. This guy's, I mean, he's getting 10, 15 plus.
That's if he's able to see him. I mean, we don't know whether he missed him or whatever, but like I said, I think that's good defense by Denver.
But say, how much did Tony Romo need to do? 48 points. This is only the fourth time in history that a team has scored 48 points and lost, okay? I mean, yes, he threw an interception. Even if it was his mistake, even if it was his fault, he made one mistake the whole game after putting up 48 points, 140 quarterback rating, 5 touchdowns, 500 yards passing, and we're going to blame him for losing the game?
And that's where I don't want it to seem like, because I'm with you. I mean, I know it's not going to play a devil's advocate, but I'm with you on that. I mean, I think he had a heck of a game. Was going to win it, I believe he would have had to win it.
Let me tell you something. People think that the Broncos are going to go 16-0. I don't. I'm going to tell you I'm going to tell you
who they're going to lose to.
I'm going to tell you right now. I think I see two games. I think the way Kansas City is playing, I think Kansas City has a shot. But I'm telling you, New England is going to beat Denver.
Oh, my God. You're saying that right now, live.
I'm telling you right
here
now,
on the Madden voice.
That's the omniscient speaking.
I'm telling you what. I'm telling you what. First of all, Tony Romo came in this game on a mission, clearly. And
yeah.
Tony Romo is, to me, he's getting tired of getting browbeat for not being an elite quarterback. And he went out there and said, we're going to win this game. And he put this team on his shoulders and damn sure nearly pulled it off, okay? You don't think that Tom Brady's not sitting over there getting a little annoyed at all of this hype that Peyton Manning in the offense? You don't think Bill Belichick, the defensive genius that he is not already thinking about how he's going to stop? This is what these guys lived for, 14 years together, right? 14 years in this league, right? This is the kind of game that the Patriots step up and say, oh,
Chief,
no.
Girls stop it, man.
Let's do this.
Stop doing me like this. See, you get me fired up. I would want to see this game right now. You get me all fired up.
And remember.
What is that, like week 10 or something, man? Stop
week
it, man.
12, and it's in New England, too.
Oh,
so
my
now
God.
We're talking the possibility of a little weather, maybe, right?
Little weather, Gronkowski back,
Gronkowski?
Amendola probably healthy.
Amendola healthy.
Dude, I'm getting goosebumps already over here. Don't get me fired up for something that's going to happen in week 12.
And let me just throw another team out there that might do a little bit better than people think.
All right.
Keep an eye on them damn Colts.
That would
saw,
be awesome.
Absolutely.
You saw how they – and Train called it. I didn't think they would do it. I give Train credit. Train said the Colts were going to beat the Seahawks. I said the Seahawks were going to win. I was wrong.
Oh, good call, man. Gosh.
And he did.
Yeah.
Train won.
Yeah.
So now I'm out. Now I'm starting to believe in the Colts. And so what I'm saying to you is, yeah, Peyton Manning in five games, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Arguably the best five-game stretch in the history of professional
in the
football.
History of the game, bro.
Absolutely. I will not take anything away from what he's done in 5 weeks. Unbelievable, okay? But let's be real. We've seen Drew Brees, 50-something touchdowns, Tom Brady and Randy Moss, 50 touchdowns. We've seen this before. It's not going to continue. It's not. People need to stop. Will he break the record? Maybe. But it's not going to continue. These guys get paid to play football, too. And between the Colts, between – don't sleep on them Chargers, either. They got a little firepower, too, although they didn't show –
come on,
they didn't
no.
show it. But at home? Don't sleep on them Chargers. But between those Chiefs, splitting maybe, between, I mean, come on now, the Colts, you know? I was going to say the Texans, but never mind.
No.
They done dropped off my radar. But I'm telling you, man, I see 14-2, 13-3 out of Denver, and I see Peyton Manning coming down to earth a little bit, and people are going to, you know, just like last year, right? What did we talk about last year? Read option. And Kaepernick and Russell Wilson and RG3. Oh,
they've
my
been
God.
Exposed.
Completely different year now, huh? All of a sudden, RG3,
yeah.
Not a bad knee, but not doing much. Kaepernick, hey, I anointed him after the first week, not doing much. Russell Wilson, they're winning games, but not based on the read option. Defenses will adjust. They're going to figure Peyton Manning out, too. I'm not saying they're going to stop him, but they're going to slow him down. Watch. They're going to slow him down.
And you're
remember?
Saying that he's going to start to slow down when? When are we going to see him slow down?
We don't know that. We just have to wait and see
no,
with that.
No, T knows. Come on, T, call it. You're going to call some big calls right
it's
now.
Start again.
He brought up the possible teams to beat him.
Oh,
not beat him, but
start.
When are we going to see the offense slow down? Because they
haven't
been slowed down.
Well, listen, they've got a 28-point Vegas spread against the Jaguars. I don't think we're going to see it next week against the Jaguars. but Bill Parcells would call this a trap game. Bill Parcells would say the Jaguars have nothing to lose and everything to gain. They're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Peyton Manning. That said, I think Peyton Manning's going to run all over him. I think it's going to be a blowout. The next week is against the Colts in Indianapolis. That's going to be the first game that we're going to start to see a slowdown.
So, all right, guys.
Man, I'm going to enjoy that Madden voice.
We got a call in line. Want to bring him on. Doesn't have a number, but welcome to the Madden voice.
Hey, this is Run With Scissors 2012 in the chat room. How are you guys?
Sweet, man. Welcome to the Madden boys. I've been seeing you in there quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan, and you want to know something else about me? I actually I fart green gas out of my asshole.
Oh, wow. Okay. We will move past that.
Man.
And on to football.
Well, I'm glad he called in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you for your support.
No, you can go and listen to another show. All right, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, you did bring it up, so we might as well segue into it. Colts beat the Seahawks. I told you what happened. You know, it's one of those games I felt the Colts would have their number. I saw the way, you know, I liked the way they played against San Francisco, and I felt if they played that same way against Seattle, they could pull it out. Surprisingly, Seattle put up more points than I thought they would. I give them that, but the Colts is a team that can score.
You know, my only comment on this game is just simply I'm going to escalate it to a bigger picture of Andrew Luck, in my opinion, should really get a lot more credit than he's gotten over the last 2 years for what has gone on in Indianapolis. If you guys remember how the Colts looked the year before when Peyton Manning was hurt and didn't play, I mean, they looked pathetic. They were just a miserable team. And then the Colts made the decision to they didn't want to pay Peyton Manning a bunch of money for unknown. And they looked at it and said, you know, let's just say Peyton Manning comes back completely healthy, we could probably get anywhere from 2 to 5 years out of him. Andrew Luck, we can get with the first pick in the draft. And, you know, this is a guy that we can get 15 years out of if he stays healthy. And they made – now, you know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks come through, highly touted, Vince Young, Leinart, Ryan Leaf, there's others, and the results have been marginal, okay? Even Cam Newton at this point, the jury's still out, but certainly he hasn't even done what Andrew Luck has done in a year and five games. What this young man has done with a team that was, 2-14 2 years ago, is nothing short of incredible. And RG3 and Wilson and these guys got all the pomp and circumstances because of the flashiness. But this guy here is the real deal. He is serious. He is the heir apparent. He is the next big thing in the NFL. And this team is 4-1 while the Broncos are 5-0. Okay? This team is serious. This team is back. And I cannot wait to see the Colts play after to me, a surprising win over Seattle, which to me, their defense is second to none in the NFL. And the fact that the Colts, they got Trent Richardson now, you know, even though Ahmad Bradshaw is out for the year, but they got Richardson, they got Donald Brown, UConn, go Husky. This guy and this team, to me, do not take them lightly. They are for real. They are here. And the Colts are back. They are back to the level of where they left off with Peyton Manning, but without Peyton Manning. And so I now am a believer now where 2 weeks ago I was like, no, we'll see. I'm not there yet. You know, after what they did to Seattle, and great game. But we had Seattle as the second best team in the NFL, and the Colts weren't even in the top five, and the Colts beat. And again, Train called it, and the Colts won. So I've got to say Seattle, Colts, Indianapolis now is for real. You have to take them seriously now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I really do like that dude, Andrew Luck. There's one thing I saw analysts, like, pointed out about this game was the fact that Richard Sherman, like, slowed down on a touchdown pass by T.Y. Hilton where he possibly could have made a play. And sometimes it wonders that that guy's mouth is bigger than his play sometimes. I started to take a bit of liking to him, but when you look at that play, it's like you have to keep playing. Because, you know, the safety slowed him down. And had you stayed on his heels, that's not a touchdown.
Right. Right.
That's not a touchdown. So if you're going to run your mouth, play the length of the field and play 60 minutes.
And, you know, and not changing your point because you make an excellent point, but that game, I mean, I don't think it was marketed this way. But, you know, I looked at the Dallas-Denver game and I said, you know, maybe I'm a little far-fetched because I'm a fan, but, wow, what a great Super Bowl that would have been, right? You know, if Dallas and Denver have a rematch and play in a Super Bowl, man, that's going to be one of the highest-rated Super Bowls of all time. And, again, I guys, don't blast me for talking Dallas and Super Bowl in the same sentence. I know they're 2-3, and, you know, I get it, okay, I get it. I'm just talking about the quality of the game. We've already said Denver is a Super Bowl contender, and look what Dallas did. Man, if they make it to the Super Bowl against each other, hell of a game that looks like it'll be. Well, you know, Seattle, well, I'm sorry, that would be AFC Championship game. Excuse me. No, wait a minute. Seattle is a... No. Seattle's an NFC. I'm sorry. So I'm right. Back in the day, Seattle was an AFC team, guys, and so I'm old, so I remember those days very, very clearly before they added another division. I remember when the Cardinals was in the NFC East. Okay, I remember it very clearly. So the point is, that could have been a Super Bowl preview too, and, man, that'd be a hell of a game. Seattle and the Colts in the Super Bowl. So we're seeing some potential matchups that would be nice to see again down the road a bit, you know. So that's all I want to say.
But like I said before, I think Tom Brady is a different quarterback in the playoffs. I mean, he's just showing it. Yet even the year they won, he really wasn't that great in the playoffs. Their defense started killing folks. So I don't know how he's got to prove to me he's going to be this same. I mean, I'm sorry, Peyton Manning. He's going to be the same Peyton Manning in the playoffs. So I don't know. I mean, if Dallas was able to get there, I'd probably pick Dallas to win it.
Well, you make a vow. I mean, that's the one thing that you when that's always kind of the subscript to the difference between a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning.
Absolutely.
Is that they're both great, all-time great quarterbacks, but when you get into the postseason, Brady's, you know, he's got an incredible postseason record. You know, been to 5 Super Bowls, 1-3, you know, and Peyton, on the other hand, you know, 9-11 in the playoffs, been to 2 Super Bowls, 1-1. His younger brother, who is not half the quarterback that he is, has 2 Super Bowl wins. You know, so that is the knock against Peyton Manning, that regular season, he's lights out. Playoff?
Lights out.
We'll see. And all I'll say is he's playing on such a high level now, and he's got a new team and a new coach, and I just think that he is – his level of play right now, the drop-off will not be because it's Peyton Manning. It'll just be because defenses are going to adjust, because that's what defenses do in the NFL. I will say, Train, you're the defensive guy on this show. We time and time again, you give it enough time, the defenses always
adjust. Of course
adjust.
They find a way.
Right.
And to go 16-0 is not easy. To go undefeated is just not easy. It's only been done twice in the regular season, once ever in the history of the NFL. So defense is finding a way.
And the Patriots did it with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably, and arguably one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, paired up on the same team. You know, it's kind of like putting, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron James on the same team for a season. How many games are they going to lose? You know what I mean? You know, so that's all I'm saying is you put Randy Moss and Tom Brady on the same team. It was almost unfair. I was watching Madden live.
But that's what makes this – that's what to me makes this so exciting, because I could have swore to you up and down we would never see another team that could win 16 games. I think they won 18 games straight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And I thought we would never see.
And
lost the Super. I thought we would never see another team that would do that. And we might be seeing. I don't see anybody stopping these guys. Now, I guess Dallas did kind of give me the thought that maybe somebody could. They are human, especially with their defense playing like that. But there's not too many quarterbacks they're going to face, you know, except for Tom Brady, who can play at that level, and I don't think Tom Brady, he just don't have the weapons to play like that. I mean,
but he is Tom Brady.
Romo looked good, man. I don't think they played anybody who can do what Romo did with the talent surrounding them. I don't think it's going to happen.
Tom Brady.
But I would love to see another team go 16-0. I would love to see that. I didn't think it would ever happen ever again. And we're looking at probably one of the best offense in the history of the game. But,
Doesn't mean
I got to go, man. I enjoyed talking to you. I got to go, man.
All right, keep listening.
All right,
no doubt.
All right, we've beaten up the Broncos to death. What's next? Hey,
yes,
you know what
we
I
did.
Talk
we
I know what
that.
We need to talk about. We've beaten that to death, man. I think you need some floor time, man. I think we need to figure out. You need to. Now, you were right. You called the Broncos beating the Cowboys, but I was right. I had the Saints beating the Bears. Now let's shift this completely to your Bears. It looked like Cutler played a pretty solid game from what I'm understanding, but I didn't watch the game, so I have to defer to you on this. I'm hearing that the score doesn't quite represent. It was 26-18, but people are saying that it really wasn't that close. I don't know. But statistically, Cutler looked like he played a good game. But talk to us
well,
about the game. About your Bears.
Yeah, I'll clear it up. Before we talk about it, though, let me clear the air real quick. That person who called in was not the Run With Scissors 2012. You know the Run With Scissors as the young lady, the Pittsburgh Steelers fan has been supporting us for the past 2 years. That's who Run With Scissors is. That particular person was a guest in the chat room who chose that name when they called in. So I have no clue who that was.
Yeah, and frankly, if he's listening or if he's in the chat room or whatever, dude, really, we don't need that type of, whatever that was, we don't need it. So don't call again. Go bother some other show, please. We're here to talk football. If you want to talk football, that's great. If not, if you think that was funny, you're an idiot. You're a moron, and we don't need that. I'm done. Train, talk to us about the Bears.
So, Bears game, yeah. It was still a winnable game. Yeah, it came down to another game where we possibly needed an onside, but it wasn't too far-fetched. To win that game. It was close. But it was one of those things where it was one of those games where Chicago just they ran out of time in the fourth quarter. They needed certain stops in the fourth quarter, and it would have given them more time to make a play. Yeah, actually, I remember one particular drive where they had where I consider this guy having the best hands on our team. He's the best hands on our team. But Earl Bennett drops an out pattern for a first down. They get that, and they keep that drive alive, and Chicago has a better chance because it gives them more time because the offense starts to pick up its rhythm. You know, and then, the defense made a few key stops when they needed to, but it's one of those situations where they run out of time. To be honest with you, as a Bears fan, it's a game that you've won that I wanted my team to win so bad because it makes a statement. Here's the Saints. They look like the Saints of old. They got Sean Payton. They have a better defense, and they're coming to town, and you want them, you know, the Saints are marching in, and you want to beat them. You want to win that game. But at the same time, when that game ended, and we're 3-2, and I'm looking like, okay, why do I need to be real upset? For one, we have a new offense. We have a defense. It's got some injuries, but they'll get their bearings. And from watching, just taking a little bit of NFL history, from taking a playbook from the Giants and from other teams that play well towards the end of the season, you want to play your best ball towards the end of the season. You want to have that steam going into the playoffs. So I say, hey, we're 3-2 with the Giants coming up, and Chicago just need to move forward. And the offense will get better as the season go along, and hopefully the defense can stop suffering injuries because we just lost our second D tackle for the season. But, you know, it was a winnable game. It was close at one point, but they just pretty much just ran out of time.
Jimmy Graham was something else, wasn't he?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. He caught one deep pass where I'm looking like, could the safety not have made a play on him? Because it looked like the safety looked back as the ball was in the air, but misjudged how far ahead it was being thrown, and it, like, fell right in the bread basket. And I'm like, could he not have stuck his hand out? But is Jimmy Graham. I really expect I didn't mind him getting his. I expected Jimmy Graham to get his because Chicago because the cover two scheme. And I know this from watching it so many times. It is very weak against tight ends. It does not do a good job of covering tight ends. Only whoever you have at the middle linebacker position, in the event that you don't move the tight end like the Saints have done, you know, they move their tight end split out wide. They make it very difficult for teams to cover Geno Smith. But going down the seam, the cover two has a weakness down the seam. So I kind of expected him to have, you know, a good game. I was just hoping that our offense, just like the Cowboys answered the bell against the Broncos, the Cowboys offense answered the bell, I was hoping that our offense would answer the bell against the Saints because that's what we needed to beat them. There's no way you can rely on the defense the whole game to beat the Saints. You need some offense. And 18 points is definitely not enough. What did I say? You go in those games down 21 at least?
Yeah.
Can you play against the Four Horsemen?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You know, and I get what you're saying about the cover two scheme. Jimmy Graham is just a monster, no matter what scheme you're playing on. And the guy is, you know, I've watched a lot of Saints, and I have Drew Brees as my fantasy quarterback on both of my teams, and he's a monster. And, you know, I didn't see the game, but, you know, you make a valid point that you're 3-2 in your division. You're right there. And, you know, to lose to an undefeated team at this time of the season is nothing to be ashamed of. I firmly believe that your division is going to come down to the Packers and the Bears. I do not believe that the Lions are for real. I just don't. I just think their coach sucks. I think their offense – I do think they have a lot of the missing parts, but I think – I don't like Matthew Stafford, and I don't like that coach. And I tell you all the time, when I look at a team, that's the two things I look at first. Who's the head coach and who's the starting quarterback? And I look at that team, and I think Matthew Stafford under a different coach might become more of a team leader. But I'm not worried about it. But your team, you know, your coach still to be determined, but seems okay. And Cutler seems to be maturing. You know, he seems to be maturing. He seems to be Romo-esque. He seems to get unfair criticism.
He does.
You know, that's why I say Romo-esque, but can put up big numbers and can win some games. You know, and you guys got some, you know, on offense and defense, y'all got some, y'all, you know what I mean? When your defense is playing, your defense can play with anybody when your defense is on. Healthy and on, your defense is as good as any defense in the NFL. And your offense with Forte and Brandon Marshall, and, I mean, you know, you have all the parts. But it's just, you got that other team in that division that's pretty doggone good, too, and that's Green Bay. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Now, and you brought up Cutler in that particular game, man. I watched it closely. I really did watch it closely. And when the offense did get to rolling, you know, Cutler definitely could have played better, definitely could have made some better decisions. So what I see in him now is a quarterback that needs to make better decisions within the gameplay. He knows the offense. Every coordinator that's worked with him says he's smart, he gets it, he understands it. But once the ball is snapped, but even before the ball is snapped, once you hit on that field, I look at him and I think, I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, you need to make better reads before the snap and then better reads after the snap. Because here we have a week where Brandon Marshall says, oh, he's frustrated that he's not getting the ball, and then you holding the ball looking for him in the game. That doesn't make any sense. Alshon Jeffrey should have had 300 yards receiving, man. Period. They couldn't hold him one-on-one, and they were trying to because they were too busy trying to double Marshall. Alshon Jeffrey could have won that game single-handedly. All he had to do was keep throwing the ball. I mean, one play in particular, if you break it down, Jay Cutler held the ball. I want to say end up being a sack when Alshon Jeffrey came wide open on a post pattern. Right across the middle of the field. Had he hit his back step and took his read off of Marshall and went through his progression, he had Alshon Jeffries in stride with the safety behind him. Right. One man to beat. I mean, that's what separates you, you know, when you're a quarterback. So, yeah. My thing is, Jay, all the weapons, throw it to who's ever open. It does not matter. Because with Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffries, Brandon Marshall, and Matt Forte, you should not be holding the ball when you hit your back leg. I refuse to believe all of them are covered. Once you take your 3-step, 5-step, 7-step drop.
Who's winning the division right now? What's the?
Right now, Detroit is on the division due to tiebreak over the Bears.
So you're both.
And Green Bay has a 2-0 division record, but they're 2-2. So you can kind of say 3-way tie, in a sense.
So you have 3 teams with 2 losses.
Yeah, 3 teams with 2 losses, basically. Yeah.
Okay, but Lions beat you guys.
And Green Bay beat Detroit.
Gotcha. But Green Bay only has 2 wins.
Yeah. And the one thing we found out about Detroit is they do need Calvin Johnson. Reggie Bush is a great addition, but they need Calvin Johnson because Reggie Bush can't do anything without Calvin.
Right. Right.
So, next up, all man.
Right.
Oh, speaking of quarterbacks that are playing poorly at the moment, Matt Schaub and Eli Manning. Talk about their confidence. I know you put this topic up there.
I did.
And,
I really feel like, and part of it is bitterness over how Romo gets treated, but, I mean, I guess, you know, the Roosters have come home because, you know, first, let's talk Matt Schaub for a minute here, okay? I believe it was the Omniscient One last year that said that there is a few quarterbacks that I feel are overrated and I just haven't gotten on their bandwagon, and Schaub and Matt Ryan were two of the ones that I mentioned. And I believe that we are seeing this year that both Schaub and Ryan are underachieving. Two teams that were playoff teams last year are struggling and doing very poorly this year. And a lot of it has to do with the quarterback play, especially in Houston, where this guy's just throwing interceptions and pick sixes like crazy. Now they're even talking about benching him. Now that's the conversation now. And so I say that, and then when we go to the two-time Super Bowl champion, Eli Manning, I want to say what I've always said is Eli Manning benefited from having great defenses both those years. Michael Strahan led great defenses both those years, okay? Just like we can say that Rex Grossman led the Bears to the playoffs, I mean to the Super Bowl with an incredible defense. Okay, Rex Grossman was an average quarterback, maybe even above average, but not at the level of some of these other quarterbacks, okay? But had a great defense. And Eli Manning had 2 great defenses, and that is what got him in 07 and then again in 2011 to win a Super Bowl. But Eli Manning, I've said it again, and people argue with me about who's better, Eli Manning or Tony Romo. We've had this discussion on this show a number of times. Well, I think it's pretty clear who's a better quarterback. I don't care how many Super Bowls he's got. I think it's pretty clear to me. Okay.
Dude, here's my take when it comes to both Schaub and Eli Manning. And I said it on the Friday show. You know, these are not – they're not with the Four Horsemen group. So what their offense need is run games. You cannot expect Matt Schaub and Eli Manning to win your game without the ability of the offense to run the ball and the defense to make stops. That's how those teams are designed. That's how those teams are built. And both of those teams, you know, especially when you consider the Matt Schaub situation, Aaron Foss is the best player on offense, not Matt Schaub. Putting the game on Matt Schaub's shoulders is definitely a bad idea. Plus, they're supposed to have a top defense, and it's dormant right now. I'm not hearing, what's the guy's name? I can't even get his name. J.J. Watt? J.J. Swat? J.J. Squat right now, because we're not hearing anything from him right now. We're not hearing anything from the Texans defense right now. So you take that into account and you're putting the game on Matt Schaub's shoulders, and we know he's not that kind of quarterback. That's, talk about Saints, talk about unrealistic. That's That's not an expectation right there. You talk about Eli Manning, just like you mean, he's benefited from defense, from good defense. He's also benefited from having a running game. Everyone know when the Giants have a running game, it's hard to beat them. It's hard to beat them. Also, when they've had arguably one of the best defensive lines in the league for some time up to this season, but they started to let those players go, didn't want to pay them. Well, now you're seeing this is the result. It's just math, man. It's math in NFL.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody,
well,
see this.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, again, I think that, you know, we are watching two teams that have a history of winning some games over the last few years really nosedive, and the quarterback play. There's a lot of reasons, but at the same time, the quarterback play is atrocious. I mean, heck, we can throw the Steelers in there because Ben's had some turnovers, Ben's had some interceptions, Ben's had some questionable play, you know, and he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, you know. So I think that we're just starting to see a changing of the guard here just a bit. You know, now, don't get me wrong, Peyton Manning's still there. As you've labeled, the four horsemen are still the four horsemen. But when we looked at the next tier of quarterbacks, we always looked at Big Ben, Eli, you know, Shaw was thrown in there. Matt Ryan was thrown in there. You know, Phillip Rivers, we're seeing the next level. Although Phillip Rivers hasn't been playing too badly this year.
He's been better.
Right. But now, to me, I think the next level of quarterbacks, now we got to look at that a little bit different. I mean, Andrew Luck is now in that discussion. I think, frankly, this year, Tony Romo is clearly in that discussion. Really should have always been in that discussion. I think that, Russell Wilson is in that discussion. Kaepernick, well, not anymore. He's in there.
I saw him play better Sunday. I saw him swing the ball around the field Sunday.
A little bit. He's still not playing like that week, though. Not like that first week. That first week was very impressive, and I haven't seen much since then. So he's got to rebound. He's got to recover. I know they've had some injuries, but he's got to recover. And so I think that when we're looking at the quarterback play, and let's stretch it out to Buffalo, right? E.J. Manuel's out, and they just brought in another quarterback. Minnesota, Ponder accomplished anything, right? And at Castle, and then they just went and signed Josh Freeman with the promise would compete for or get a chance to be starter, okay? Philly, you know, Vic pulls a hamstring, and Nick Foles comes in. And honestly, I didn't think Nick Foles played all that well, but they're saying he came in and played great. They won, but, you know, we're talking about the Giants. So now, you know, we have a potential quarterback controversy in Philly. And frankly, I don't think there's a controversy in Pittsburgh, but you can't deny that Ben Roethlisberger has not been playing to his level. So we're just seeing these teams that are doing poorly also struggling with very poor quarterback play. And, you know, so if your team has a solid quarterback that's getting it done, I mean, Titans, Jake Locker, it's going to be out for, what is it, 8 weeks now they're talking?
And that hurts them.
Oh, absolutely, because they were starting to look like, you know, like they were going to be a contender, you know. So now what? And then you look at Kansas City, and that's why I say that people talk about Alex Smith as a game manager. Well, he's 5-0. He's 5-0. He's making some plays, you know. I mean, he's in pretty good company being 5-0. Drew Brees and Peyton, pretty good company. Yeah. So, you know, we're really seeing quarterbacking this year is a huge, huge issue. And I think you hit it perfectly last week. There's only four teams, which you said was there are four teams that don't need a running game. I agree with that 100%. But I think the other half of that is the quarterback play this year is so critical. It's so critical that these guys have to be playing on a high level or they're not going to win. You need to be able to establish a run. There's no doubt about it. But you need a quarterback that's going to be able to manage that game and make some plays and get the job done. You need it.
Well, that's the thing. It's true enough. You definitely need those quarterbacks to step up. but, you know, they're not, man, how can I word this? It's going to sound crazy, but they're just not accustomed to being in the same position as the four horsemen.
Right.
You know, it's very seldom that you see those quarterbacks in that position. We see Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Manning do it all day, every day. Just give me the ball, I'll get us downfield. I don't care how much time is left on the clock, I'll make it happen. With those other teams, you know, you need something else to offset so there's not so much pressure on that quarterback. And what you're seeing now is pressure, and you're seeing them not being able to handle it. They have to make plays with missing pieces, and they're not able to do it.
Right. Yep. I agree. All right. We're running long, so let's let's see. Did you want to add anything to your state of the Bears? You pretty much covered it, right?
Well, just quickly, just so people understand, just quick retake. Understand, the Bears are 3-2. They're in a very good position. If you look at the schedule now, look at the teams that they have to play, you know, it doesn't look as difficult as it did at the beginning of the season. It's still going to be a challenge, but they're in a really good position right now. And then if you look across the NFC, you're seeing Atlanta fall to the wayside. You know, you're seeing a battle over there in the NFC West between Seattle and San Francisco. And yes, Seattle has some chink in his armor. We've seen it, you know. So you put that in perspective, Chicago just needs to bounce back, get better as the season going along. Now, mind you, I mentioned we did lose our second D-tackle for the season, so that hurts. So pretty much Mel Tucker will have to find a way to make the defense work, move pieces around, but the defense still needs to continue to force some turnovers so to give the offense a chance to put up some points because Chicago can score. They can definitely score. But at 3-2, looking at the schedule and looking at how other NFC teams are performing, we're in a great position right now. We're, like, in the thick of it. We're in the fight. So the only thing they can do is just get better. Stay the
let me just say this. I think that's a very optimistic viewpoint because it's your team, and you should be optimistic. But you know, you're in a division that, frankly, any team, just like my division, any team can beat any team in that division. And so I would not be so – I mean, yes, you know, when you look at your schedule, you've got the Giants. You should have no problem with the Giants. You've got the Redskins in Washington. We don't know. I've got them this week, so let's see what the Redskins got. Up to this point, they haven't done much. But they were a playoff team a year ago. So let's see. But let's just assume that you can handle the Redskins too.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you got three games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
At Green, and then Detroit, and then Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as you slide down that schedule, you know, you've got the Vikings, which shown that they can win. Of course, you got my Cowboys. Cleveland's turning out to be a contender. You're going to have Green Bay again, and we don't know what the Eagles are going to look like. So, yes, you can compete, but you're in a division that could beat you down, too. You're in a division that, it's really – you and I are pretty much in a very similar situation. We've got to win our division games. Those division games are really going to make or break our season, because if we lose these division games, it's almost going to be moot what else we do, because if our – competition is beating us in our division, and then they're winning other games, we're in trouble. So you and I are in a very similar situation. We've got to win games, but we've got to kill the division games too. And if that
yeah, happens, I mean, you got to no 3-3 at worst, 4-2 is definitely good, and that's what I'm looking at Chicago being in the division. I think 4-2 will be strong in our division. And when I say the schedule doesn't look like, I mean, just considering these next two immediate games, because when I look at this schedule at the beginning and I'm looking at back-to-back Giants and Redskins, I'm like, wow, they're scary. It just doesn't look as scary as it did at the beginning of the season, if you understand what I mean, versus, you know, for the way those teams are playing now. You know, and then I look at the other half. Our later nine out after the bye week, that's going to be tough. That's definitely going to be a tough run. But when I look at the way St. Louis is playing, the fact that Hoyer is gone with the Browns, the fact that the Eagles have not been able to beat us.
Well, let me just put it to you this way, and then we'll move on. I think you guys will beat up on the Giants, but I would not want to play an 0-5 New York team. It's just something about that game scares the hell out of me. I'm glad we're not playing them Thursday night. You should beat them. You should guys have a good game against them. But, you know, they're desperate now, and that's scary that team's coming into your stadium desperate because it is a home game for you, right?
It definitely is a home game.
Yeah,
I think we're
that's
more
a trap game. Trap game.
I think we're more desperate because we lost.
You're not more desperate than an 0-5 team, let me tell you. You guys, there's no way you're more desperate than an 0-5 team at 3-2 and still tied for first place in your division. Oh, no. The Giants are 0-5, ready to go 0-6. Their season is pretty much over at 0-6. It's done. So, no, you're not desperate yet. You guys are still in the thick of it. Listen, my T-Bionics is just real quick and simple. I just want to remind everybody when people talk about interchangeable parts in the NFL and you know, I made my comments about Schaub and Manning and all this stuff going on and the problems in the NFL, but I want to remind people and just remember, we play a lot of fantasy football and we play Madden, but the NFL, it doesn't work that way. You know, you just don't interchange parts like you're changing a pair of pants. And I hear fans, you know, get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy. And, you know, Schaub's having a bad year. Oh, let's cut him. And, you know, Romo's never going to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. Let's get rid of him. And now I'm hearing because Terrence Williams had a good game for Dallas. Although a week ago he had the fumble against San Diego. So get rid of him. Now he has a great game. So now get rid of Miles Austin, who just is out because of hamstring. I mean, guys, these guys have contracts. These are professional players. Yes, I know in fantasy football, you submit your waiver and boom, boom, boom. One guy's gone, the next guy's on. I know in Madden, same kind of thing. All right, it's a video game. This is real football. It doesn't work that way. Okay, people don't just, you know, there are contracts. There are rules to this game. There's salary cap. There's just
politics.
All types of stuff go on. Huh?
As politics.
Politics, collective bargaining agreement, you know, there's all types of stuff that go on. So if you want to be an informed football fan, read up on what's going on before you call into a show or before you get on a blog and start talking about, we got to let this guy go and we got to release that guy and we got to cut this guy and why don't we just trade for this guy? Like, it's just not that simple. It's a business and it doesn't work that way. So instead of saying stupid things like, oh, let's just release this guy, slow your roll. Sometimes it's able to happen, but many times it's not. This is real. Learn how real football works, please, before you call in or send a message or tweet or anything about this guy's a bum. We need to just cut him. We need to just release him. You sound uninformed and you sound ignorant, and you guys as fans are better than that, okay? I believe you are. That's all I got to say. I'm going to do the power rankings, and then let's do the picks because for the second week in a row.
Hold on one second before you do the power rankings. We have a last-minute caller. I'm going to bring him on real quickly. Area code 616, welcome to the Madden Boys.
What's up, cuz?
How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm sorry I called in late. I'm trying to get ready for this fundraiser on Saturday. I just wanted to call and say Terrell Pryor looked real nice. Real nice Sunday night. Some Oakland Raiders, baby. I know we got a long way to go, but that boy looked beastly.
Strong Raiders fan.
You know I'm a Raiders fan, dude. All the way, every day.
They look like they might go, 6-10, 8-8. Look, we'll see.
What is this with the Raiders hype all of a sudden because it's Terrell Pryor?
I've been a Raiders fan.
I'm not questioning your loyalty. What I'm saying is I'm hearing more and more Raiders rumbling, and I want to kind of remind you guys the division that you're in. And You still a year out before you really can make some noise because you got three other
teams. Kansas City and Denver are looking real nice. Peyton Manning looks like a beast.
And even though you guys beat San Diego, I'd still say San Diego's going to be in the mix, too, even though I know you beat them.
I was very surprised we handled San Diego like that. They're very tough. Phillip Rivers has been dogging us out for years. I called in last week, but I called in late. I want to say I don't know how the way they're doing in Denver with Peyton Manning, and they got all these quarterback coaches and all these. I don't understand why every team doesn't do that. I feel like they're behind the game. He is so prepared that it's ridiculous. How can a defense prepare for a man that's prepared for you already with anything he's going to do? He's changing the game right now. Denver looks real tough. If the defense plays just as tough as he does, they're Super Bowl bound. This Super Bowl is going to be in Denver this year, and that's going through.
Here's the answer to your question. There's a head coach that used to play quarterback that was never a starting quarterback, went to Princeton University, and is considered just offensively brilliant. And that's Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But as a player, he was a backup. He was a journeyman. But as a football mind and as an intelligent football mind, he's just as intelligent as Peyton Manning. Here's the difference. Peyton Manning also can go on the field and do it where Jason Garrett couldn't.
And so
when you talk about why can't other teams do it, yes, there are minds out there that are as smart as Peyton Manning, but do they have the ability to then walk on the field and do what Peyton Manning can do? And that's what separates Peyton Manning.
You're correct on that.
Yeah, he can go on the sideline and coach. He can do what Jason Garrett's doing on the sideline, but Jason Garrett could never do what Peyton Manning did on the field and in the huddle. And that's what separates Peyton Manning, is he can do both. And that's why we may never see that unique combination again.
That boy in Indianapolis right now, he looks nice. If he gets that same coaching ability, he has that ability to control the game. I like him. I like Luck.
I like what he's doing. I think he's got a lot of ability. But when you talk about the combination of being able to what we see, the way we see Peyton Manning do it, I think it's just going to be. I don't think we're going to see that often.
He ran a bootleg for a touchdown the other day. I'm like, what? He can't even run. But he's got defense so faked out.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's a cameraman on that.
That was just a great call. And that's again a tribute to Peyton Manning. That was a great call. They had to switch camera views because no one thought that he would make that call.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, anything else you want to add?
I just want to give a shout out to my cousin, Dr. Mackenzie McNeil. I know you love it out there in Cali. And I also want to give a shout out to my son. We have we got a campaign called 1 Million Care about AJ. We're trying to get 1 million people to donate $1 to his trust fund on his birthday. He's right now status 2 for a heart transplant. And I just want people to go to Facebook and type that in and like the page. We're just trying to get the word out about transplants and stuff like that and congenital heart disease. But I love y'all's show. I like the fact that you guys are regular guys. You guys do fantasy football. There's regular guys talking about it. Because I know my cousin is a regular guy. And you guys talk real football, and it's not – you're not talking out your butt because you didn't play the game and you think you're better than anybody else. You guys are the guys that watch the game and know what the game's about and talk about. And like I said, becoming you just made about the fans talking about, let's just cut this guy and let's do that. And you got, like you said, you got contracts, you got things like that. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm tired of hearing people talking about dropping people. And then people got kids to feed and they got wives to take care of and they got households to take care of. You just can't cut a guy because he maybe fumbles the ball. You know, you might can yell at the TV, but really, he has earned to be out there. And you just can't drop a kid, drop a guy just because he makes a boo-boo.
Right. We appreciate the call. We appreciate the support. Here's what I want you to do. Go to the Madden Voice page and just make a post of the link to your page for your son so that anyone wants to see it. I'll make sure it gets out on Twitter. I'll link it to my page. So we'll try to get as much visibility for that page as we can.
Thank you so much. He's a big Michigan fan, and he's a Detroit fan. Sorry, cuz.
All right. You'll learn, too.
All right. Love you, cuz, and love you guys, man. Have a good night.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, man. All right. Thanks for the support. All right. Anybody out there listening, archives or what have you, Trains Right Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I think what we should do is put your cousin's Facebook page out there, too. And I think, Train, you should put a link to Erica's foundation as well. Let's get some,
I'll do that as well.
Let's get some attention. And let's, you know, to me, at the end of the day, as much as I love talking football, if we could turn the show into a vehicle to do some good things like that as well, that's more important than anything else that we do. So let's see what we can do to make that happen. Last two things. I'll do the PAR rankings, and then Train can lead the discussion on the fix, and we're out of here. PAR rankings for the second week in a row, the all three hosts are united. Unbelievable that for the second week in a row, our top five is exactly the same. So at number five, the Seattle Seahawks. And I'll tell you, if the Cowboys had beat the Broncos, man, I so wanted to figure out if there's a way that I can put them into the top five.
It would have been close.
Can I get a 3-2 team in the top five that upset the Broncos? Well, I was looking to see how could I justify it, but that didn't happen. But Seahawks lost to the Colts, so the Seahawks dropped to number five from number two, so it's a pretty big drop. Number four, first time on the top five, the Colts, who just beat the Seahawks, makes sense. They're at 4-1 as well, but they beat the Seahawks. And then the top three teams in the NFL, and really I think I haven't looked at NFL.com or ESPN's PAR rankings, but
they got it right.
Yeah, I
they got it right this week, both of them.
Okay. I mean, the Chiefs should be number three and undefeated 5-0. The Saints, clearly best team on paper right now in the NFC at undefeated 5-0. And then, of course, the juggernaut Denver Broncos, 51 points. Peyton Manning and that offense just doing incredible things. Still the best team in the NFL, even though their defense gave up 48. But you know what? Doesn't matter if your offense goes and scores 51. Who cares? And they're the best team in the NFL. So that's our five. And according to Train, we seem to be in sync with some of the major sites. So I think we know what we're talking about.
We do, or they know, or, you know, yeah, we know what we're talking about.
or they finally listen to the Mad Voice and realize they need to just go ahead and take off our ranking. That's what I think happened.
Exactly.
All right. Train, we got five games to pick.
We have six. Five games to pick from. Boy, this is not about to be easy. And again, it is. So, first game, Packers at Ravens. What do you think, T?
Well, and here we go. When a game is too close to call, I'm going to go with the quarterback and the head coach. I will say the head coach is about a wash. I really like Mike McCarthy. But, you know, we have the Super Bowl-winning Harbaugh. I think quarterback, to me, is pretty clear. Got to go with Aaron Rodgers over Flacco. So I think it's going to be a very good game. I think teams are very evenly matched. I'm going to go for weather is not a factor yet. It's still October. So although we wouldn't be a weather, you know, Packers are used to playing in bad weather, so I don't think it would affect really either team. I'm going to go with the Packers, even though we know that Clay Matthews is out, which is a huge blow to their defense. I'm still going to go with the Packers. I think their offense is going to be better than the Ravens' offense, and I think they're going to be able to put up more points on the Ravens than the Ravens are going to put on the Packers. So I'm going with the Packers.
Yeah, this is one of the four horsemen. So one of the four horsemen versus the guy who probably got too much money and not enough targets to throw to. But the game is not all about offense. Clay Matthews is missing and Terrell Suggs is there. So, but still, I'm gonna take your same stance, and I'm gonna go with the Packers on this one. Even though I will be rooting for the Ravens, no doubt.
Well,
but I think the Packers will win the game.
There's picking, and then who you're rooting for. And frankly, it may very well benefit my team too in the long run for the Packers to lose. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm hip. So,
all right. Next up, Lions at Browns. Man, I will go first with this. Let me say that had Hoyer not gotten injured, and this one may change due to whether Calvin Johnson will come back. But for right now, thinking that I don't know his status. I don't think he's out. I don't think he's listed out for next week. But definitely, had Brian Hoyer not gone down for the season, I'd be picking the Browns hands down. But I don't have any faith in Whedon. Holds the ball way too long, and for the defensive line of Detroit, that's an accident waiting to happen, as Stephen A. likes to use.
But he used it against my Cowboys. Anyway,
guys. True that. Funny every time I hear it. I know it pisses you off. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Lions on this one, unless I find out that Calvin Johnson is not playing, and then I may switch my pick to the Browns just because they're at home.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Browns. You know, this is a situation where I don't like either head coach. I don't really know the Browns head coach, but they're 3-2. Whedon, Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Whedon. There's no doubt about that. But Whedon did badly in the last game. He actually made some plays. I think that people are sleeping on the Browns a bit. I mean, the Browns leading that division? What? Where's Chase Star at?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just say, and really the bottom line is, I don't believe in the Lions and the Browns are at home. And I think that we know Whedon holds the ball too long. They know Whedon holds the ball too long and had some problems, which is why he was on the bench. And I think now he's got a chance to regain his job. And I think we're going to see a better Whedon, Brian Whedon, whatever his name is. I think we're going to see a better one. So that said, I'm going to go with the Browns.
Okay. All right, Whedon. You see, ball's in your court. Next up, Titans at Seahawks. Man, let me make it short and sweet. The Seahawks is at home. Seahawks.
Yeah, I was looking for a reason to go with the Titans, and the quarterback is out. And the Titans have surprised me and played some decent football, but they're not capable of giving the Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks are at home, and they're just not the team that's going to break that home streak. So, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this one. But, you know, 4-1 versus 3-2, it's definitely on paper a competitive game. And the Seahawks just lost, so they might actually have a little chip on their shoulder. I think it's going to be a decent game, but Seahawks.
Saints at Pats. I will let you take this one.
Man, this one here is really, as Train was saying, I love how he has, I've always felt that there were four quarterbacks in the NFL, and you guys will go back and check, you know, the recordings, and Train has really encapsulated it well by calling them the four horsemen, and I love it. I'm going to borrow it because we have two of the four horsemen. It's lovely. And as I said, you know, and I'm kind of now eating my words, because I said the Patriots will beat the Broncos, and I really feel that Belichick, because of the history of Brady versus Manning in that AFC, I really feel like that's a game that they're going to get up for. There's not really a history here of Brady versus Brees. There's not a history of Belichick wanting to shut down the Saints. I don't think the motivation – I think they're going to want to win, don't get me wrong, especially coming off a loss and the Saints being undefeated. But it's not the same as the history that Brady and Manning have had, going head-to-head, and I just think it's a different game.
So that said, I'm going to go with the Saints in this one, and it's just mainly because I just don't think that I think while all I think what the Patriots have going for them with their history with Brady is and I'm sorry, if Manning is what's going to go against them without that history against Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a different kind of quarterback than Peyton Manning. He's a unique quarterback. He can throw the ball like he's agile like Aaron Rodgers and can throw the ball like Peyton Manning. And he has the command. He's one of the foresmen. He's an incredible quarterback. And the weapons they have and their defense that will make stops where the Broncos defense didn't. I just think right now, even though we have the Broncos number one, I can make a very strong argument for the Saints being the best team in the NFL. Very strong argument. And I don't think the history here is going to lend to the Patriots really getting up for this game emotionally. And it's a big game, but it's not like when they play the Broncos and Peyton Manning. I think that's going to be a huge off-the-charts game. So for that reason, I think the Saints are going to go ahead and win this game.
I'm going to have to agree with you. And I'm going to roll with the Saints. Ditto everything you said, but I'm also going to add in one piece that definitely would have been a help with New England had he been here, and that's Vince Wilfork is out.
Yeah,
and
I forgot about that.
That loss is huge for that defense, for the New England defense. I mean, that secondary is playing well, but, you know, without what Vince Wilfork can do up front, especially against a Saints offensive line that does have a chink in his armor that's not that strong, that has lost good quality offensive linemen to other teams, definitely it will come down to the point where I just simply think the Saints will just outscore them. They'll outscore them and they'll win this. And they have a defense that can go up against a New England team that's really struggling to have consistency in offense due to injuries. So maybe Gronkowski will be back, maybe not. Maybe Amendola will stay healthy for the whole game, maybe not. But I definitely like the Saints better here.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Vince being out because that's a huge blow. Gronkowski coming back is going to be helpful, but, you know, let us all remember that. And I'm not trying to say that I'm going to change my pick with the Patriots and the Broncos. I do believe that that's a different kind of game. But that said, let's remember that Gronkowski has benefited from an Aaron Hernandez for the last couple of years, and that's no longer the case. And so can Gronkowski be featured in a single tight end structure where he's the go-to guy and there is no other tight end that's arguably almost an equal threat? I mean, Aaron Hernandez, let's talk football only, was a top-flight tight end. And so we have two Pro Bowl tight ends with a Hall of Fame quarterback, it was a nightmare to the point where many teams try to emulate that. Well, that's what Gronkowski is. Hernandez is gone, okay? And so now the system is different. So not saying that Gronkowski, you know, he's 6'7", he's a beast, but it's a different system now. So it's going to take him a game or two to kind of come back around and see what he's capable of. And Amendola is a question mark, too. So Train makes some very, very strong points on this. So, yeah, for this game, I think, yeah, we're in agreement. I think the Saints have the upper hand, without a doubt.
And one quick note, you saw the way New England played against Gonzalez? I mean, two men, almost three men, making sure he wouldn't get the ball? Trust me, they'll do the same thing here.
Yep.
Against Jimmy Graham. That's what I'm interested to see.
Well, that's
how they cover Jimmy Graham. I think they would try to do the same thing here. But it won't
Belichick.
Be out, but it may not be enough.
Well, Belichick is known for taking away your biggest weapon. But, you know, you take away Jimmy Graham, you still got Sproles, you still got Colston, who didn't do much in the last game. You know, still got Lance Moore. Pierre Thomas, Drew Brees, just he spreads it around. And so it's going to be interesting. It really is going to be interesting.
All right, last but not least, Cardinals at 49ers. I'll let you take this one. You put this up there. I'm I'm trying to find a reason to go with the Cardinals for the 180 argument.
There's no argument. Cardinals, you had to put it up there because you've got, it's a division game, and you've got the Cardinals at 3-2. You've got the, I believe the 49ers are they 2-2 or 3-2?
They're 3-2.
I believe they're 3-2 as well, right?
Yeah, they're 3-2.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a division game, and you've got two teams that are 3-2 trying to keep pace with the Seahawks at 4-1. I stay within shooting distance, and it's a huge game for the 49ers. It really is a huge game. And the Cardinals, surprisingly, they're 3-2. But I think this is where, to me, this is a statement game for San Francisco. You're home. You're playing a division opponent that should be inferior. It made a statement against the Rams. You need to make a statement against Arizona. So I feel very strong that 49ers are gonna do well in this game.
Trust me when I say I'm trying to find a reason to go with Arizona, but there's one thing that scares me, and that is freaking Carson Palmer, who has not been consistent enough. I'm not asking him to be great, but just no consistency and more interceptions than touchdowns. And that alone is enough to be like, to basically go with San Francisco, because I don't think that San Francisco is just necessarily a strong home team. They're just a good team. I think they can play anywhere. But with the inconsistency of Carson Palmer, I would definitely go with the 49ers here.
All right. And Trin, you've written down all those picks?
Not written down, but I have memory.
All right. Write them down, and let's shoot K-Star an email and get his picks so that we can keep our weekly pick segment alive. Let me say that we, the host of the Met Voice, are going to get together and either talk on the phone or email and discuss. We're toying around with trying something. K-Star's for it. I'm leaning towards it. Train's against it. But we might try to do like a shorter Monday show before the Monday night game, maybe a 7 o'clock show Eastern time, maybe like a 7 to 8 show, Eastern time, just to try something different. We understand that by Tuesday night, you've heard all the talk, and we try to add a unique spin on it, so we appreciate the support and the love everybody's given us. But at the same time, how much can you talk about the same thing? So, we're toying around with trying something different. Would a Monday show at, say, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock West Coast time be something if we did an hour show? Obviously, we couldn't talk much about the Monday night game only other than to preview it. But, would that be something that would be received well? We're thinking about it. If anyone has any thoughts on it, feel free to put something on the Madden Voice Facebook page or send us a tweet saying, hey, guys, that's a great idea, or saying, guys, leave it the way it is. We want to hear comments on all the games. We don't want to, we don't want you to move the date. The problem is if we have a conflict on Tuesday, as this month I have a lot of Tuesday issues, then that means we're pushing off the Wednesday. And by Wednesday, to me, it's old news. By Wednesday, I don't want to talk about Sunday football games. I'm already looking at Thursday games and next week's games. So that's the big challenge. So if any of our fans have any comments, that could hear the comments and make a decision after we hear from people. Regardless of what we decide, Monday, Tuesday, or even Wednesday, we are going to do a weekly show. You will hear from us every week, where we will cover what's going on last week and talk about what's coming up next week. We're here for you every week. Just check your local. Go ahead to Facebook. Go ahead to Twitter. Go ahead to blogtalkradio.com and check us out. And, you'll see when our show is on. And if not, the archive on your iPhone or iTunes will always be here. Train, other than making a hell of a lot of noise, do you have any final comments?
I'm sorry if I didn't. I hadn't moved, man. I've been sitting here the whole time. And no, not really. just what I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, everyone be aware, get educated, and, you know, get yourself checked out and understand what you need to do to make sure, you know, you fight this thing.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Train, make sure you get your hand ready to put play our parting music. So for Dr.
I hope,
Train.
I hope I got the right one.
NBC, the one that says NFL for NBC. That's the one.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't have the right
one. For Dr. Train, thank you for hosting. We appreciate it. K-Star, I'm not going to say I missed you, but I did miss eating your lunch. And let me just leave everybody with one thing. I am working on setting up a debate with someone that everybody knows who's quite famous for their ability to debate. I'm not going to say who it is, and I'm not going to give any details. I'll just say stay tuned, and I'll let everybody know, because you're not going to want to miss it. Commissioner T, the Omniscient One, versus Person to Be Named. Hang tight. I'll keep everybody updated, but just hang tight. On that note, thank you, Train. K-Star will be in touch. And everybody, enjoy football. Enjoy your games. Madden Voice will be back next week. Remember, here on the Madden Voice, ultimately, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.